Good evening, everyone. It's Pastor Bob from Vine Street Christian Church in Arthur, Illinois. Welcome to our Middle Sabbath Chapel on this Wednesday evening. We're going to bring you a short worship time together that will include some music, some prayer, some scripture reading and sharing, and a virtual communion service. We hope you enjoy it, and we look forward to doing this again on Sunday for our Sunday Sabbath as well, so be looking for that. But now, let us begin with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in uncertain times, Lord, with things we don't understand, that are confusing to us and even scary to us, that fill us with fear and uncertainty. And that's a strong combination for fear, Lord. So we ask that you show us the way in this time of uncertainty. Give us a light where there is darkness in our hearts. And remind us, Lord, that you are always here with us through anything that we may be walking through, that you will never leave us or forsake us. We ask that you give us the eyes and ears to reconsider the situation we're in, to think of it not as a crisis of the medical world, but maybe as the Jews consider their own Sabbath. Maybe we should think of it as the most sacred of times, times when we cease from travel, cease from buying and selling, times when we give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is, times when we can sing and pray, times when we touch only those to whom we have committed our life, a time, Lord, to center down. And as we do that, and our life and our body become still, we pray that we can reach out with our hearts, know that we are connected in ways that are both terrifying, but also beautiful. Know that our lives are really in each other's hands. Surely that has become clear. But let us not reach out our hands, but reach out our hearts. Reach out our words. Reach out all the feelings of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Lord, promise this world your love as we promise it to each other, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. And now let us recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Spirit in this place. Oh Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
And now let us turn to our scripture for this evening. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. It begins on verse 14. You may want to look that up, pause the recorder and look that up. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And let us begin. This is the story of Jesus with his disciples right after the transfiguration on the mountain. They have come back down, James, John, Peter, and Jesus, and they're at the foot of the mountain. And they find a great crowd there surrounding the other disciples as some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. The crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and then they ran to greet him. And Jesus said, "What is all this arguing about?" One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast out the evil spirits, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was very small. The evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly replied, "I do believe, but help me in my unbelief." A wonderful story from the Gospel of Mark, and I think it's so important because it situates all of us to some degree or another on where we are in our own faith life. Lord, we do believe, but help us when we doubt. Help us when we don't believe or fail to believe or forget to believe. Probably even here this evening as we're listening to this, most of us would be hard-pressed to say whether we're here because we believe or we're here because we want to believe. We have some belief, but we want some more. Usually when I speak about the scripture or preach, it's both from a place of believing. I have often said I believe it all. I think it's all true. But also there's a place of unbelieving. How could it be true? What does it mean for my life today? Where is God in all of this? Well, you know, Jesus came so that we would be led from doubt to faith, from unbelief to belief. And as of yet, no one's done that perfectly. But some of us are willing to open the door. Some of us are willing to be led inside. And whenever that happens in our lives, our doubt fades away. You know that saying, when doubt and fear knock on the door and faith answers, no one's there. When we open that door and allow ourselves to be led in, Jesus himself takes that doubt from us. And as Barbara Brown Taylor said, hangs it in the closet with a dustpan and galoshes. It's not for us right now. We don't need it at this point. Oh, it'll come back. It'll show itself again in a day or two or three. And we'll come back to the door and hoping that we can knock. Because when we knock, God always answers. And when God answers, He leads us inside. The man, the father in our story, suffered from this same ailment that we all do. Belief yet doubt. Hoping that just because our faith isn't perfect, that Jesus can still work in our lives with the little faith we have today. And of course, he does. So many times in the Gospels, when Jesus heals and saves, he uses that phrase, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has saved you. Believe. Believe. And so we do once again. The world's a strong force working against our belief. God wants us to believe in something we can't physically see or touch or hear. And the world tells us that's fantasy, that can't be true, that seeing is believing. But what the world doesn't know is that the power of the Spirit that comes from God is greater than any power from this earth. And that those of us who are able to open our hearts to that power, that Spirit, that force, then everything changes in our relationship to the world. That we now use our physical senses that help us understand the world and use them to see the world as God sees it. Because we now have access to a higher faith, a higher belief, a higher truth that comes from Jesus. And as Jesus says, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And thus our story today. The father's faith may have been the size of a mustard seed, but that's all it took for Jesus as he healed the boy in our story. The end of the story, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast that demon out? Why couldn't we rid him of that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This can only be cast out by prayer," telling us that one of the most, if not the most, parts of our faith is our prayer life. Coming to God just as we are, in our belief and in our unbelief, in our certainty and in our doubt, in striking up a relationship with God that is real, that is authentic, and that is powerful. Because we never have to wait till we're perfect to come to God. Our faith will never be perfect in this life. But all we need is a mustard seed. Let us now prepare our hearts for a virtual communion with our Lord Jesus Christ as we settle in and meditate on this wonderful communion song, "Come and Find the Quiet Center."
Come and find the
And now we're ready to come together to the table of the Lord. Wherever you may be this evening, whatever your situation might be, let's reach out from our hearts and join together as one congregation. One congregation together, entering the upper room, climbing the steps, having our feet washed by our Lord and Savior, entering in and fellowshipping with the other disciples, knowing that at that very moment, Jesus already knows us, knows who we are, knows our story, knows everything about us, and knows us by name. So as we enter that room, he calls you by your name. It's glad to see you here. I'm glad you made it. I have a spot at my table just for you. It's been waiting for you, and it will always be there. So please, join me. And as Jesus comes to the table, we take our specific designated seat with him. And he lifts the bread from the table, and he shows it to us. He says a blessing over that bread, and then he tells us, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat of this bread, remember me." Not being sure exactly what that means, we're transfixed on every word. And as the bread gets passed to us, we take our peace and digest it into our soul. And as we have finished circulating the bread, Jesus takes the cup and he shows it to us and he says a blessing over it. And he tells us, "Now this cup is the new covenant that I'm making with you," and he calls you by name. "It's a covenant I make with you in my blood, blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So whenever you drink of this cup, remember me." He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And now as we sit at the table with Jesus and all the other disciples, let us meditate on the meaning of this communion we just celebrated. And for our benediction this evening, let us remember in our minds all the blessings of this situation we're in. I thank Ed Petrowski on Twitter, who forwarded something out that reminded me that we are surrounded by good things, even in the midst of this hardship. So many things are not canceled in our life. Getting outdoors is not canceled. Listening to great music is not canceled. Spending more time with family, not canceled. Reading scripture, a good spiritual book, or a good book of fiction, not canceled. Singing, not canceled. Laughing well, not canceled. Hope in our hearts, never canceled. I pray that God is with you during these hard times, these confusing times. And for our last song tonight, we'll listen to one of the theme songs from Vine Street Christian Church, Here I Am, Lord.
I'm the Lord.
Yes, and special thanks to the cover group Rings True, a duet, who offered that wonderful music for us. I bet you were singing along to some of that. I bet we all were. Well, let's close with this benediction prayer from the United Church of Canada. It reads partially, "Dear God, when we aren't sure, help us to be calm. When information comes from all sides, correct and not, help us to discern. When fear makes it hard to breathe and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, God. Help us to reach out with our hearts when we can't touch with our hands. Help us to be socially connected when we have to be socially distant. And help us to love as perfectly as we can, knowing that perfect love casts out all fear." Amen. Blessings on your evening. I hope you enjoyed our little middle Sabbath chapel service, and I look forward to talking with you again. Until then, amen, hallelujah, and amen.
I believe.